Open your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. On this Mother's Day, I would like us to go back to the original mother, Eve. We're going to study God's Word this morning from the standpoint of Eve. But before we do that, I want to share some advice. This is from an article that a youth ministry published some years ago. I take it to be what they say it is. And it says, posted on the wall of a detention center where we minister, we found these rules written by juveniles for their parents. We have reprinted them here as we found them. And I'm going to read these 10 rules. I won't read all the explanations, but think about this. 10 rules for parents on the walls of a detention center. 1, keep cool. Don't fly off the handle. Keep the lid on when things go wrong. Kids need to see how much better things turn out when people keep their tempers under control. 2, don't get strung out from too much booze or too many pills. When we see our parents reaching for those crutches, we get the idea that nobody goes out there alone and that it's perfectly okay to reach out for a bottle or a capsule when things get heavy. Remember, children are great imitators. We lose respect for parents who tell us to behave one way while they behave another. 3, bug us a little. Be strict. Show us who's boss. We need to know we've got some strong supports under us. When you cave in, we get scared. 4, don't blow your class. Stay on that pedestal. Don't try to dress, dance, or talk like your kids. You embarrass us and you look ridiculous. 5, light a candle. Show us the way. Tell us God is not dead or sleeping or on vacation. We need to believe in something bigger and stronger than ourselves. 6, scare the devil out of us. If you catch us lying, stealing, or being cruel, get tough. Let us know why what we did was wrong. 7, when we need punishment, dish it out. But let us know you still love us, even though we have let you down. 8, call our bluff. Make it clear you mean what you say. Don't compromise. And don't be intimidated by our threats to drop out of school or leave home. Stand up to us and we'll respect you. Kids don't want everything they ask for. 9, be honest. Tell the truth no matter what. And be straight arrow about everything. We can take it. Lukewarm answers make us uneasy. We can smell uncertainty a mile away. 10, praise us when we deserve it. If you give us kids a few compliments once in a while, we will be able to accept criticism a lot easier. The bottom line is we want you to tell it like it is. Well, those are great rules for advice for parents. If this is true, they came from the wall of a detention center or wherever they came. They're great advice. But have you ever noticed this funny thing about advice on mothering or parenting? When you need it, you often don't want it. And when you think you have all the advice needed, then nobody else wants it. Have you ever noticed that? Parenting is given to those with very little experience. And when those parents gain all the experience, not everybody wants to know about it. Some advice, however, is not optional. And that's the advice from the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. Imagine today having an interview with the original mother, Eve. What would she tell us today about parenting and about mothering in particular? Have you ever thought of this? We all have the same parents. We often talk about having the same dad, Adam, but we have the same mother. You go back many mothers, grandmother, 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 all the way back, and we all go to one couple, Adam and Eve, the whole human race, 7 billion people. We descended from a common couple, the same family. There is one human race, one blood, and many ethnicities, yes, but we all go back to the same couple, Adam and Eve. She is the original mother. God had granted some fulfilling and exciting truth to us from the life and experience of the original mother. So I want to look at five lessons that Eve would teach us today from the Word of God. And so turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, and let's look at this perspective from the Garden of Eden and thereafter about Eve. Notice Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. You see that? So Eve means life or living, a great name. And so Adam called his wife's name Eve. She is the one who gave birth to the human race. She's the mother of the living. And so we talk to her today. Father, open our eyes, our hearts, to your truth from the Word of God. You know our needs today, and so we pray that according to our need, you will speak to us from your Word. Thank you that your Word is true. And thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for the human race. It all started in Adam and Eve. But Lord, thank you that in spite of their failures, you had a plan from eternity past to save sinners. So show us our need. Teach us today. Encourage mothers, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lesson number one from Eve. We go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Motherhood was designed and blessed by God. This is a very important truth. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. By the way, in Bible study, there is what we would call the law of first mention. When is something first mentioned in the Bible? And we look to see God's pattern. And so in the book of Genesis, we have the law of first mention on marriage, on family, on mothering. And so here in chapter 1, verse 28, then God blessed them, that is Adam and Eve, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over everything that moves on the earth. God blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply. These are the first commands in the Bible. He tells this original couple, be fruitful and multiply. And ever since this time, there has been a war on marriage and the family. The devil hates the human race, and he hates children. He hates babies, I'm convinced. But God said to Adam and Eve, this is my design. This is my blessing. I'm blessing you with this. The design of God provided unique qualities and capabilities of masculinity and femininity. Notice what he says here in verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Keep this in mind. God created man to have dominion over all of creation. We are not on a par with grass and trees and animals and the whales in California or wherever else. We're not equal with all of them. We're above them. We're to have dominion over them. That's God's design. Verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The design of God provided unique qualities and capabilities of both masculinity and femininity. The design of the all-wise and all-holy Creator is very clear. And we have the blessing of God. The blessing of God rested upon the original parents to be. Is there anything greater from the family than to live in accordance with the Creator so that we can have His blessing? It is so fulfilling to do things God's way and to have His blessing on us. And we see the purpose of God here for the original parents. It's very clear in verse 28. Be fruitful and multiply. They were to be fruitful. They were to have children. We wouldn't be here if they had not obeyed this command. They were to become numerous, to multiply. And they were to fill the earth in verse 28. Fill the earth and subdue it. And they were to dominate and subdue the earth. And they were to rule over creation. You know what's happening today in the United States of America? We're reaching a negative birth rate. In other words, we're not having enough children to replace ourselves. Other countries in the world, if it continues the way it is, will go into extinction because they don't have children. I want to say that I am so happy to look out here today and up here today and to see children and youth. And yeah, we may hear a little noise. That's heavenly noise. It's a blessing to have babies, to have children. We need kids. There's another generation. And what's happening in our world today is a negative birth rate. Kids aren't being born into families. And what will be the future? If you have no population, then who is going to consume goods? Who's going to make goods? It affects the economy. God really knew what He was talking about here. God's amazing economy. And so this goes back to the original couple. And notice Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. I love this. Genesis 1, 31. Then God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was what? Good. It was very good. It was blessed by God. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. It was good. What God created was wonderful. God is the one who designed marriage. He's the one who designed masculinity, femininity, and how they complement one another. He's the one that designed children and future generations. And God said, "This is good." Well, you can be sure of this. If God says something is good, the devil is going to say, "No, it's bad." And he's going to change it. He's going to try to do the opposite. And before our very eyes today, that's what we see. I don't know if I ever would have dreamed of this, but you know, we have a presidential candidate who's an open homosexual, bold about it, brags about it, glad for it. You say, "Lord, have mercy on our nation." We're at that point. We're at that point. God created things His way, and He said, "It's good. It's good the way I designed it." Now I'm going to do something a little different. Point by point, I want to stop and make several applications. So I see this truth. Motherhood was ordained by God. Mothering was blessed by God. Femininity includes that unique ability, joy, and nature to be a mother. Yes, God designed Eve to bear children. God designed women for that role. And Satan loves to thwart God's design and purpose, to turn it into something evil, to strike fear in the hearts of godly women so they don't desire to be mothers. But motherhood as a part of God's creation is indeed good. And we honor you mothers who are here today. Don't let anyone tell you that it's not good. Don't let anyone tell you that you're less of a person if you are a mother. No, God says you're blessed, you are good. Lesson number two from Eve. Motherhood has eternal consequences. You ever think about that? Motherhood has eternal consequences. Look at chapter 3 and verse 15. This is after Adam and Eve fell into sin. And God is speaking to Eve, to Adam, and to the serpent, the devil. In verse 15, he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman. He's talking here to Satan, the serpent. I'm going to put enmity. I'm going to make you enemies, you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He, the seed of the woman, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is called the first gospel. Here is the beginning of God's plan of salvation being unveiled. And he says to the serpent, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. But then he says, he. That is the Messiah. Here is a prophecy of Jesus. And what is he going to do? He's going to crush the devil's head. And yes, the devil will attack Jesus' heel. He did that at the crucifixion. So here, this mother will have seed. Eve would have seed, the seed of the woman. And then this is also a prophecy of Mary, the virgin. Because here the seed normally thought of from the man said from the woman. The virgin is going to have this offspring, the Messiah, who will deal a fatal blow to the devil. From the seed of the woman, the serpent crusher would come. What a wonderful thing. Eternal consequences from the seed of the woman. And we're here today, gathered in the name of the living Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world born of the Virgin Mary. Her motherhood had eternal consequences. Eve's motherhood had eternal consequences. And moms, think of this. Those children you've brought into the world, their soul will live forever. Imagine that. Their soul will live forever. Two destinations, heaven or hell. And what an opportunity, what an obligation you have, and we fathers have as well, to pour the truth of Scripture into the lives of our children, that they would spend eternity in heaven with the Lord. And here's how. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but God loved us and Jesus died for us. Believe on Christ and be saved. Have eternal life. And mothers should be great evangelists, sharing the truth of the gospel with their children from babyhood forward. The Savior came, born of a virgin, thousands of years after this prophecy. Motherhood has eternal consequences. We see the big picture. Sometimes when we're younger, it's hard for us to see more than just the immediate picture. You get a little older and you begin to understand a little more, but still not fully. Imagine the power of just being faithful to the Lord. Sometimes God pulls the curtain back and we see the impact of someone's faithful testimony living for Christ. The blessings, the benefits that come. In 1980, it was around Mother's Day weekend, there was a college graduation at Clearwater Christian College, Clearwater, Florida. And I have somewhere a picture that I treasure. It's with my mom, and on that day, her son graduated, her grandson graduated, and her future daughter-in-law graduated the same day. And this godly woman who suffered much in her life, on that day, son, grandson, and future daughter graduated from college. Fast forward some years later, all in the work of ministry. And last week, a mother-daughter banquet, the grandson's wife was here with a delegation from Grace Baptist Church. We were here. God is good. You see, mom had no idea of that. when as a six-year-old, seven-year-old child, she's investing the Word of God in me? She had no idea what would come in the future. Moms, you have no idea what will come. Maybe God will show you it, or maybe He won't. Maybe you won't see it now, but you'll see it in heaven. You'll see it in eternity. Be faithful. Be faithful to the end, and understand that your job has eternal consequences. Continue to invest the truth of the Word of God into the lives of your children. Teach them the gospel of Jesus. Teach them the Word of God. Eternal consequences come from motherhood. Life continues on, and godly offspring come from godly mothers and grandmothers. I love the testimony of the young man Timothy. Just for a moment, let's turn over there. 2 Timothy chapter 1 in the New Testament and see this wonderful man's legacy. And here is a whole set of Mother's Day messages as well, but let me just sample this. Look what Paul says about Timothy, his spiritual son. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and he says in verse 3, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you, that's you, Timothy, in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Isn't that powerful? Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Timothy, live out the faith. You have a wonderful legacy. Your mother was a believer. She knew Jesus. And your grandmother was a believer. And in 2 Timothy 2:15, he said, from childhood, maybe even from infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise into salvation. Motherhood has eternal consequences. Teach the Word of God to those children and grandchildren, because it's from the Word of God we learn how to be saved, how we can have a right relationship with God, how we can go to heaven. And moms, your highest aspiration for those kids and grandchildren should be they know Jesus and they live for Him with all their heart, and pray that God will send some into His work, into His service, but that all would be godly. Motherhood has eternal consequences. You don't know whom you may bear and who will turn lives toward God and the influence, the direction of the world. You've heard this cliche, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. I think this is true, could be true, if the hand does indeed rock the cradle. This may make some of you upset, but I'm not excited about signs on the fence at the park that say free pre-K for all. I'm not excited about that. You know why? I don't think the government should raise our children. I think we should. Think about that. We know that's great. It's free. Free daycare, free whatever. No, who has a responsibility to impart truth to the next generation? We do. And more, younger and younger, the government takes our children and they fill their minds with all kinds of things. We need to be wise about this. We need to stand up about this and think it through and say, wait, what is my responsibility? From childhood, you've known the Holy Scripture, able to make you wise unto salvation. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, but rock the cradle. Spend time at the cradle, the nursery, and all through life. In being a godly mother, you set up a pattern for future generations to follow. Think of that. Future generations to follow. Let's illustrate that from the book of Ruth. Remember the video that we watched about Ruth? It was a great video in the period of the judges. And Naomi was so grief-stricken. She was bereft of her husband, bereft of sons. But God gave her a daughter-in-law who was like a daughter to her. And then Naomi was richly blessed. Look at the book of Ruth. Joshua judges Ruth, chapter 4, verse 13. Notice this. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child, laid him on her bosom, and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. So Ruth is the Moabite young woman, commits to her Jewish mother-in-law, Naomi. God gives her a kinsman redeemer, Boaz. Boaz and Ruth have Obed. Obed begots Jesse. Jesse begots David. And many generations later, David's family line, Jesus the Messiah, is born. Motherhood has eternal consequences. Naomi, the great-great-grandmother of King David, and eventually of the Lord Jesus. Lesson number three from Eve. Lesson number three. Motherhood has times of great sorrow. A part of the sin problem here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, is the pain of childbirth. To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Because of the fall into sin, our world is not perfect. We have thorns, we have thistles, we have sickness, we have pain. One day that's going to be lifted. One day that's going to go away. But it teaches this important lesson. Motherhood has times of great sorrow. From the very beginning, the pain of childbirth, the anguish, the anxiety. Motherhood comes at a price. I think there's a reason the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. And someone who does not appreciate their mother, that she gave life to them, in some cases came near to the point of death. I said the Mercedes of our births was not a hospital birth. It was at a little birthing center in Bamberg, South Carolina. And it was our fourth child. A Christian midwife, or just across the street was a little county hospital with a helo pad. And so this lady was under the auspices of a medical doctor there. And she was so skilled in the birth process. And it was a wonderful experience. And here we are in this wonderful room. But then my wife got up and she had a problem. And immediately out of this room, it looked more like a motel room. In the cabinet was all kinds of equipment and oxygen and other things. And the midwife took care of things right away. But it could have been very dangerous had there not been help nearby after birth. And some of you have experienced that. Maybe you nearly died giving birth. And maybe some of you, that was the case with you, that your mother did die at birth or shortly after. Motherhood has times of great sorrow, and we need to appreciate our moms and what they did for us to give us life. Because of the sin question, this thing that is unique to women, the bearing of children, will be accompanied with sorrow, pain, and difficulty in this life until the millennium, this curse will be lifted. Because of the fall, there is also emotional and interpersonal relationship problems. Notice, your desire shall be for your husband, or maybe against your husband, and he shall rule over you. There will be some conflict in marriages and relationship. There is trial many times in the life of a mother. And this lesson we can apply. Motherhood is not easy. It is a big job, a huge task. and whatever else may be added to it, we need to add honor to it and appreciate what our mothers have done. A husband who is also a father should highly appreciate his wife, who is also the mother of his children, and should honor her. You know, sometimes, men, we can be a little dense. Your wife will attest to that, I'm sure. Sometimes we don't get it. And I remember when the kids were young and they were small, and I would come home from ministry, and I'm tired, and it's right around dinner time, and kids are hanging onto the leg of my wife, and they want attention. And finally, I caught on to this. You know how I caught on? Because my wife informed me. She said, if you'll just take the kids for just 20, 30 minutes, it will help me so much, and we can eat so much sooner, and things will be peaceful. Instead of being selfish and just kicking back and relaxing, wake up. I remember being in a home, I think it was my home, we had some guests there, and this fellow was over in the corner reading a book, and the kids were going nuts, and his wife was so frustrated. Wake up, dude. Get off the couch. Help your wife. Help the children. Work with the children. And just a little investment can be such a blessing. Teenage years, mom tries to do the right thing. Dads, what do? Do we support them? Do we help them? Do we back them up? Or do we contradict them? You know, kids are so smart. Last August, before my brother-in-law passed away in November, before he passed, we had no idea he would leave this life, but I'm so thankful for this dinner we had together that my niece organized. We were around this table together, and my great niece, my niece's little girl was there. She's about 5 years old, and my niece was all prepared with coloring books and everything. You know, we were at this little restaurant, and then my little great niece, she went to her dad, and she asked for something, and dad said no. So you know what she did then? She went to mom, and she asked mom, and I love the response. Well, what did daddy say? Well, he said no. Well, daddy and I are on the same team, she said. Wonderful. Great advice. Kids will test that. They will push that. They will work that. And so, dads, we need to be on the same team with mom. And mom's on the same team with dad. Motherhood has times of grief, but we can ease up on some of the stress, some of the issues, if we work together and if we support each other. It should be, you've heard me say this every Mother's Day, I think. I'm going to say it again. It should be a law for fathers to be with their wives for childbirth. Respect for womanhood and motherhood goes up about 1,000%. I was privileged to be there for all seven, and I'm so thankful for it. I'm so blessed to have had that privilege. Our sixth child was born in a snowstorm in Maryland. And, well, he wasn't out in the storm, but this started to come down. And we were on the Air Force Base, and we had to go all the way around the Beltway up to Bethesda, Maryland, to where we were going to have this baby. And so we were calling about the weather. What's it going to be like on the roads? Because we don't want to be stuck, because my wife labor had started. And so we said, we better make this trip before the roads get impassable. So we make this trip. There are cars zooming by us, and sleet and snow is coming down, and then we see some cars over in the ditch. Finally, we get there. The trip took twice as long. We get there, and it's this Victorian house. It's like the grandmother of the birthing centers. And here it was, the Bethesda Birthing Center in Bethesda, Maryland. And so we're in this house, and it's like, it's like a vacation to me. Wow, it's really nice, this breakfast nook over here. And my wife is, this isn't a vacation. We get there, labor stops, and this is a great time to relax, kick back here, you know. And the next day, another couple, they come in, and he happens to be a pastor, and he had to push the car up the last bit of the way. His wife, great with child, had to get behind the wheel because of the snow and the ice, and they're inside, and it's also their sixth child. And it wasn't too long, we hear crying at the end of the hall. The lady has the baby. And it's the end of the day, and we find out they already went home, and we still haven't had our baby. And that was a tough birth, but God gave us a son, and we're very thankful. Motherhood has times of sorrow, but dads need to respect what their wives went through to give them those children. We need to honor our mothers. Lesson number 4 from Eve. Motherhood should be the result, notice should be, the result of a loving intimacy between husband and wife. There are some wonderful words in Genesis 4, verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife. You may think, well, isn't that kind of strange? He didn't know his wife? Go back to chapter 2 and notice verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Well, what does this mean then, that Adam knew his wife? Chapter 4, verse 1. It means that he knew her intimately. He had intimate relations with her. And notice what it says, Genesis 4, 1. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Adam knew his wife intimately, and she conceived and bore a child, and the child was the product of this intimate union. Motherhood should be that, the result of a loving intimacy between husband and wife. Children need to see that mom and dad love each other. They need to know that mom and dad are indeed on the same team. And the motive of childbearing should be pure, not a tool to patch up or hold together a failing marriage, nor a device of manipulation for one's selfish desires. Childbearing should come from a motive of love that's intimately expressed. But I could hear someone say, but wait a minute, I'm sorry, that just wasn't the circumstance of my being a mother and bringing a child into the world. I was thinking about that. So what do? We realize now, but God had a plan. God had a plan. Understand this. No child is a quote-unquote accident. None. Unplanned, perhaps, by people, but not an accident with God. Not at all. Children are a gift from the Lord, and they are not an accident. And if circumstances were less than this intimate closeness that Adam and Eve experienced, then our response should be, but Lord, I know you have a plan and a purpose, and I'm accepting that. And if sin was involved, I confess that, I deal with that, and I'm free of that, and I go forward. I have to tell this story. It made me think of this as I was pondering this point. My mother grew up in the country in southern Missouri. She had one brother, and her desire when she got married is that God would give her girls. She had 4 girls, and she was happy. And at age 40, she had a surprise. And she said that at the time she thought the last thing she needed was another baby. And a boy at that. But you know what? She saw God's plan, and she accepted it, and she received it. And I thank God for his plan and for her willingness to bring me into this world to be here. Motherhood should be the result of an intimate relationship between husbands and wife. And let me tell you, you may be uncomfortable to talk about these things, but the church of Jesus Christ needs to stand up and be strong and teach and encourage marriage, biblical marriage, and not playing house. People just live together, play house. No, make a commitment. And girls, let me tell you something. If a young man will not put a ring on your finger and make a commitment to you, you just tell him, see you later. And whenever you can make that decision in your heart, then come and talk to me. Marriage needs to be encouraged by the Church of Jesus Christ. And then married couples need to be encouraged to have children. They're a blessing from God and a future generation. Who is going to raise up a strong, godly generation to come if Christians don't, if believers in Jesus Christ don't? And then the church needs to encourage the training of those children and of those couples in the ways of God. This is a blessing. The potential of this married women fellowship for older women to teach younger women how to be mothers, how to be wives, how to live in those circumstances in a godly way. The church has a responsibility because the Bible teaches all of this. All of this was God's idea. I'm not making this up. This is God's idea, marriage, family, and the children, and all of this, and God's plan works. And people come to me at counsel, I tell them, I say, look, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm a pastor, I'm a biblical counselor, but my premise is really simple. God created marriage, he gave us a manual to tell us how it works, and so we go to the manual and we see what he says. That's a simple basis, but it's true, and it works. And then lesson number five from Eve is motherhood needs a deep and abiding faith. I want you to notice what Eve said here when she conceived and bore Cain. Genesis 4:1. She said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Now, this is not a majority view interpretation, but it's possible to understand the Hebrew text here like this. I have acquired a man, that is the Lord. You say, well, what would that mean? It would mean that Eve was expressing faith that God was fulfilling the promise of chapter 3, verse 15, that I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between her seed and your seed. He, the one that's going to crush the serpent's head, that seed. And she said, this must be it. Now, I wouldn't die for that view, but it sure is wonderful to think about it. Eve thinking, I've gotten a man, a baby. Is this the Messiah? Is this the Lord? As a minimum, we can say this, that she knew that this child born was with the accompanying presence of Jehovah God, the Lord. The God who will give covenant, the God who is always existing, who exists in and of himself, who saves people. I have gotten a man-child with the help, with the presence of Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord, who will make covenants and who will save people. I think here Eve is expressing faith. Adam, I believe, expressed faith. In chapter 3, verse 20, when he said, my wife is Eve, the mother of all living. There was hope based on the promised Redeemer after the curse of sin that we have in the last part of chapter 3. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In verse 18, Adam says, my wife, she's the mother of the living. There's going to be hope. There's going to be a future. And there was faith there. And I want to say today, my friend, that there is hope. There's a future because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Eve undoubtedly shared that hope as well. Children give us hope for the next generation. And when we teach them the ways of God and pass the baton of truth on, what a blessing that is. And our hearts are encouraged to see someone will come behind us with the truth of the Word of God. Now, I want you to see a New Testament passage about Eve. This is also intriguing. It's over in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And this is also not a majority opinion necessarily on how to interpret this, but there's something very attractive about it to me. Paul speaks about Eve. 1 Timothy chapter 2, he's speaking about order in the house of God, in the church of God. And he says in verse 11, "Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but also to be in silence." And he supersedes all cultures and goes back to the Garden of Eden in verse 13. "For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression." Now notice this next verse, 1 Timothy 2:15. "Nevertheless, she will be saved." That "she" would take me back immediately to Eve. Eve will be saved how? In the childbearing. There's an article with that in the Greek. In the childbearing. Could this be an expression also that salvation for Eve and for everyone else is through the bearing of the Messiah, the child who would be born? Makes sense. That part makes sense. However we understand this, Paul speaks to Eve, and the truth is that through the Messiah who had come from the human race, born of David's line, born as a descendant of Abraham, born as a son of Adam, the human race, through that Messiah, his incarnation, coming into this world, taking on flesh, going to the cross, dying on the cross, being buried, rising again the third day, that's how Eve and everyone else can be saved, through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and if you've not yet trusted Jesus to save you, flee to the cross and be saved. You see, it is not dependent on your works. It is dependent on the one who came into this world of a virgin and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary and rose again. Call on the name of the Lord and you can be saved. Call on the Lord. Trust in him and say, "Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned, but I believe you died on the cross in my place. I'm asking you to save me." And the Bible says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. What a tremendous promise. One more truth. Go back to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 25. I believe that Eve expressed trust in God's sovereignty here. And we have that expression again. "Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed." What a blessed truth. God gave me another seed, and it's the godly line of Seth that Abraham descended from, and eventually that Jesus the Messiah descended from. Motherhood needs a deep and abiding faith. I am so appreciative of hearing from the lips of my mom the word of God when she taught me Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 when I was about 6 or 7 years old. I have never forgotten it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. He'll cut a path through your forest. Moms, anything perplexing you today? Trust in the Lord. Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? If you have, that's the biggest question. You have that question settled, then trust him for the trials of life, the little things that come. We need, moms, to see your faith and your trust in God. Your kids need to see that mom trusts God when the hamburgers are burning, when the money for new shoes for Junior just isn't there, when the mortgage payment, it's just not quite there. Mom is trusting God. We need to see that simple reliance and trust on God that comes from a heart that's devoted to Jesus is strong and steadfast. And when we see that, you don't have to say it. It's so strong if they see it in your lives, moms. And then for you to say it just puts the exclamation point. But if you say things but they don't see it, any of it in action, it's a denial of it. Well, here's a wonderful heritage to pass on to your kids. If you could leave them $10 million, this is better. I'll say it again. If you could leave those kids $10 million, what I'm about to say is better than that, more valuable than that. And that's to pass on to your kids faith in God for salvation and for Christian living. It's expressed in godly works each day. They see mom faithful in reading the scriptures and praying, faithful in fellowship with God's people. My mom is a single mom, and she didn't want to miss prayer meeting. She had concerns about me as a kid playing in Little League baseball because they practiced on Wednesday night. She wanted to be in church. I thank God for that heritage. Faithfulness in the demonstration of compassion and witness. I thank God that she was a tract evangelist. And faithfulness and commitment in the home. Undying love. I used to dream of maybe my dad would come back. I used to wonder what that would be like if dad showed up at the front door, at that screen, little screen door. But you know what? He never did. You know what else? My mom was never bitter. She never talked him down. She never passed bitterness on. She said she would take him back if he would repent and come back. God took him to heaven early, I think. But she showed an undying love for God, faithfulness to her commitments. And I rise up and thank God for her today. Lessons from Eve. Motherhood needs a deep, abiding faith. So moms, if you haven't trusted Jesus, or dads, or anyone here today, what are you waiting for? The Bible says we've all sinned. God loved us. Jesus died for us. He rose again the third day. Call on the name of the Lord and be saved. If I can help you from the Word of God to show you verses that point to Christ and salvation, I'd be glad to do that. The invitation is always open here. Let's bow together in prayer. The original mother teaches us much from the inspired words of Scripture. Is there a mom here today that would say, I need Jesus in my life. I want to be saved. Then right where you sit, will you call on the name of the Lord? Say, Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. I've done bad things, but I believe you love me. You died for me. I'm asking you to save me. Anyone, not just moms. Is there anyone who would just raise your hand up? Say, yes, that's me. I'm asking Jesus to save me today. I'm calling on him to forgive my sins, give me eternal life. Pray for me. Just raise your hand. As you leave today, I'll be glad to visit with you. Just say, Pastor, I want to talk to you more about what you said about knowing Christ. Is there a mom that says, you know, I just have some special burdens that I'm carrying? I relate to that point about sorrow and motherhood. I'll not single you out, I'll not embarrass you, but if you raise your hand, I will pray for you. Just raise your hand. Yes, amen. 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 Our Father, thank you today for your faithfulness and your love and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your manual, your word. Lord, you created all of this. You show us how family should be, and Lord, we need your help. We fall short so many times. Lord, you see the hands of these who have a special burden, a perplexity, some trial they're facing. Oh God, I pray that they will trust in the Lord with all their hearts. Lean not on their own understanding. In all their ways, Lord, acknowledge you. I pray they'll get alone with you, Lord, and open up the pages of Scripture and find answers there. Pray they'll get alone with you and talk to you and give these burdens to you. Lord, ease the burden, the concern of each one today. Draw us all close to the Lord Jesus Christ and give us, Lord, an undying commitment to the principles of the Word of God that we see laid out for us today, and help us to be a bright, shining light to a confused world that needs to know the way. May we stand strong and point the way to the Scriptures. In Jesus' wonderful, living, and powerful name we pray. Amen. Amen.